NHL Insider time with Elliot Freeman.
We played the audio earlier of Nick Kypreos, Doug McLean, and Darren Millard talking about Marc-Andre Fleury to just Flames' interest. They were maybe kicking tires. What can you tell us?
I think that's true. I think he looked at it, and why wouldn't you? Look, if you're a general manager now and you have a goaltending issue, and he's had it for a bit of the year this year, obviously, why wouldn't you kick tires on Fleury? But I don't think there's anything to it. Number one, I think the cost would be high, and number two, I'm not sure Fleury wants to go there. So there's two problems you got.
When is the cost not high? Like, the expansion draft is in June. Like, I just wonder, you can ask for whatever you want, but at what point do you just get something?
You know, I'll tell you this, Ryan. I think that general managers play a different game than we do. They wait. They will wait. They will wait. They will wait. And they will wait. And we don't like it because we want things to talk about, and we look at it and say, oh, you got to deal with this in... You got to deal with this. What are we in February, and the expansion draft is in June, so that's what, 4 months. You got to deal with this in 4 months. And you know what GMs think? I got 4 months. Lou Lamoriello has a saying: if you've got time, use it. Jim Rutherford, and we talked about this last week, I think, or earlier this week. You know, he said, "I'm in it to win it. I'll do whatever I can to win, and I'll deal with all my problems later." His preference is to keep Marc-Andre Fleury, and although he recognizes Fleury's got to play, I think Jim Rutherford looks at it and says, you guys can talk about it all you want. I got time, and I'll deal with it when I'm good and ready.
What deal makes sense there for... Because teams know that he is looking to save, you know, get some sort of an asset back rather than lose him potentially in an expansion draft. What makes sense for Rutherford that would have him pull the trigger?
Well, also, don't forget, like, cap space is a valuable thing, especially in this league. Like, I don't think it's the worst thing in the world if he loses him for nothing and gets, what does Fleury make, six?
Yeah, just under, something. Just under, yeah.
So all of a sudden, a guy who's got Crosby making 8.7 and Malkin making 9.5 and Kessel's making 6.8 because the Leafs are keeping, what, 12% or whatever it is, you know, he gains an extra, you know, $6 million in cap space. What's wrong with that?
No, you're right. We kind of get hung up on that sometimes, but especially for teams that are up on it, if you can find some cap space.
And they like him, right? Like, they, Fleury, they feel obligated. Maybe he wants to be.
No, he wants to play.
He wants to play.
I do believe that, Brad. He wants. He's tired. I think he wants to play. But number one, he's got a 12-team no trade. Number two, I do think that Rutherford sees, you know, I'll tell you this. When Rutherford got that job, you know, Fleury wasn't as held in high regard as he is right now. He'd struggled a bit. And Rutherford, from the moment he walked in there, he said, I love this guy and I believe in this guy. And Marc-Andre Fleury has validated that 100%. And I think at times they've been frustrated maybe that, you know, certain options weren't available to them. Like, Winnipeg, I think the Penguins would have considered doing a deal with Winnipeg, but I don't think it was ever really there because A, I'm not sure he wants to go, and B, I think the Jets wanted to see if Hellebuck could do the job, but it wasn't available to them. And I think the Penguins at times have been a little bit frustrated that, you know, the situations where they might have had deals, Fleury wasn't necessarily interested in going to. But overall, on the whole, I think there is a feeling that this guy has done well by us, and we've got to do well by him. I honestly, guys, I think the place that he would love to go, and it makes a lot of sense, is Dallas. The problem is they can't take a contract back for next year. Just doesn't work.
What's the situation with Lindy Ruff in Dallas? Is it getting hot, or is this a year where Nil knows that he didn't have goaltending and it's just been written off?
No, I think it's hot, Red. His contract is up at the end of this year. I thought he got a 5-year deal, but it was a 4. And I think we're gonna, like, he's in trouble, and I think he knows it, and everybody kind of knows it. I think Jim Neal had some interesting comments the other day locally where they asked him about it, and he was kind of like, you know, he was kind of like, I want to see everybody fight this together and see where we go. You know, we'll see where we are at the end of the year, but I definitely think the collar is tight there.
It was a full house at the Prudential Center last night in Jersey to watch the Devils and the Sabres. Who was everyone, including Don Maloney of the Calgary Flames, who were they looking at last night?
Well, I think they're looking at everybody there. You know, I both those teams are going to have guys. Obviously, we know who the two major Colorado guys are, but there's Aginla, there's Mitchell, there's Tootin. You know, they've got some rentals down there, Rene Bork. Buffalo has got Kulikov. Gianta said he's going to stay, or would like to stay. They've got Evander Kane, who all of a sudden is on a tear with one more year left on his contract. I think there's some interesting decisions to be made there on both teams. And, you know, the thing that was amazing about that to me was normally you see nights like that when there's only one or two games and everybody's kind of like, well, there's nothing else to see, so let's pile on this NHL building. That wasn't the case last night. There was, as you mentioned, there was that game in Buffalo. There was a game in Jersey. There was a game in Pittsburgh. You know, there were lots of options last night, and they all converged on that one. I mean, Dean Lombardi, Don Maloney, as you said, there were some pretty big names in the scouting department there. And I have no doubt the two Colorado guys were at the focal point of that. And but I think a lot of the other perimeter guys were there too.
Yeah, I mucked that up. It was the Flames had somebody in New Jersey, but yes, everyone was in Buffalo to watch the Avalanche and the Sabres. And somebody tweeted me last night, oh, they're just doing due diligence. And it's like, I don't think Don Maloney goes for the wings and the weather. You know, if he's going in there, it's because that's a second or third or fourth look at somebody if he's going in, I would suggest.
Yeah, you know, I agree with that. And, you know, Dean Lombardi's been on an Eastern swing. He was in Toronto the other night, and now he's there. And, you know, there were a lot of guys sending two and three guys. So I do think that was not just due diligence. That was a deeper look. That was, and, you know, it also, Don, he does mostly West Coast teams, right? The one time I saw him this year, he was in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
So it is interesting that he would be in Buffalo. Maybe he just wanted to go to the Anchor Bar.
Rhett says it's overrated.
It's good, but there's better. There's better. Duff's. Go to Duff's.
Duff's is fantastic. I don't disagree with you there. And Rhett, I'm sure you had your share of... I'm sure that you've had your share of chicken wings in Buffalo, you know.
Oh, it's a staple.
He's a boy to go to. Hey, Vancouver loses. It was a great night for the Jets because the Kings, the Jets, and the Dallas Stars.
Great Vancouver, night for the Flames.
They all lose, right? So Vancouver, between, and I'm not looking to stir anything up. Do you know anything about the coaching situation there? Because they have Travis Green still in the organization, and I don't know where they're at necessarily with Willie DeJardin. Plus, with that loss now, they're well back. I just wonder where they at as far as an appetite buying or selling.
Well, you know, first of all, Willie DeJardin's another guy whose contract is up at the end of the year. I mean, it's interesting. There's only one GM, and we've talked about, you know, your GM situation, but there's a few coaches who have that. DeJardin has it, Ruff has it, where they're up at the end of the season. We're curious to see where they're all going to be. So I think, you know, there's definitely a reason to believe that there could be a change in Vancouver, too. The other thing about Vancouver is, you know, their messaging is, we'll see where this goes. I have a theory on this. Everything that gets said in Vancouver turns into a five-alarm blaze. I think they're just trying to keep it as quiet as they possibly can. I find it very hard to believe that they're looking at this and saying, we're keeping everybody. It just doesn't make any sense to me. But I just think that they're probably just saying, look, this is our way of not talking about it publicly so we don't turn this into a grease fire. And I think in that market, which is really intense, it's not a bad strategy. I think you'd much rather be saying, look, we don't know what we're going to do, as opposed to saying, yes, we've gone to all these guys and we're going to get them to waive their trade clauses and let's see what happens here, because then it turns it into just craziness. So I wouldn't be surprised if they're underselling us a little bit.
Markstrom's extension kicks in next year to shade under $4 million. Miller's a free agent this summer. What would the appetite be for Ryan Miller, who's actually quietly had, I think, a pretty good year out there?
Yeah, he's had a decent year. You know, they've said that they're considering re-signing him. So I don't necessarily think that's over, Ryan. You know, I think the other thing is, too, is what does he want to do? Like, you know, to me, if I was Anaheim, I'd be taking a shot at Ryan Miller. You know, the one thing for him, though, is that his last rental situation was so bad. It just didn't work out. And the thing that was interesting about that was Corey Hirsch was the goalie coach in St. Louis at the time. And I talked to him about that. And the thing that he really said was St. Louis had no practice time after they got him, which is kind of that Western Conference situation. And that was one of the major reasons it didn't work, because he went from a team in Buffalo that was really ragged at that time to a team in St. Louis that was airtight. And he had a difficult time making the and making the transition from one to the other without a lot of practice time. Now, I think this is a little bit different. Vancouver is not a great team, but I think they've generally played pretty well defensively. They're a low-event team that slows things down. Anaheim is a better fit. Like, I'm looking at Anaheim, and I think that's a move that they should do. At least, even if he's not the starter, he backs up Gibson. But, you know, Miller's got the choice. I think he's got a five-team list that he could be traded to. I wouldn't be surprised if Anaheim's on it, but I do think Vancouver has considered the possibility of bringing him back, and that's not news. They've kind of admitted that's the case.
Still with Vancouver, we have talked about Sam Bennett and his struggles here. We've earlier this week, we talked about Curtis Lazar in Ottawa. Jake Virtanen has 5 goals in 38 games in the American Hockey League. Where are the Vancouver Canucks on Jake Virtanen?
Well, I think they're going to be invested on him because he was a first-round pick, and they don't want to give up on him too early. You know, I mean, you know, you look at Toronto, and the guy I really think of a lot is, even though he's not a forward, is Jake Gardner. You know, Jake Gardner was a guy a lot of people wanted to get rid of here, and now they've got him slotted in the right spot, and he's a really good player for what they do. You know, in this league now, the easiest thing to do is fix your problems internally. It's hard to make trades. The flattening salary cap means it's really hard to do things. The best solution is, can you fix with what you've got, as opposed to, you know, what you need to go out and get? And, you know, I don't think Sam Bennett's getting traded unless the return is huge. And I think this, you know, Virtanen, though, is different. Like, Bennett is far ahead of him. There's something weird going on there now. They're starting to talk about, well, maybe he didn't show up in shape this year, which is a bit of a concern because they kept him out there all summer. But, you know, it's looking to me right now that the Vancouver Canucks and Jake Virtanen, it's, for whatever reason, it's oil and water now. It's not a mix. They probably should have sent him down last year. But you're not giving up on a guy who's a first-round pick after
sure.
2 years.
Yeah.
You're still going to keep it, and even though he's devalued a bit.
Yeah. No, and clearly they're invested in him. He was a sixth overall pick. Cody Hodgson, early pick in the first round, didn't work out. I don't know that there's any similarities, but this would be another high first-round pick that potentially doesn't pan out.
Well, Horvat worked out great for them.
Yes, he did.
And probably even better than they thought, to be perfectly honest. I think Horvat is going to have a better chance at producing offensively than I think a lot of us believed he would. But, you know, every year there's first-round picks that don't work out. And, you know, unfortunately right now it looks like Virtanen's going to be one of them. And, you know, I think in Utica overall this year that it's been a disappointing year. I think Travis Green's been disappointed, and I think the organization's been disappointed. They had such a good year last couple of years, but now all their best young players, they're in Vancouver, so it's been a hard year for them.
More curious than anything, what do we know about what George McPhee is allowed to do versus not allowed to do? I mean, the conversations now are sort of becoming commonplace. Well, you know, what are you going to protect? What happens here with this player? Who's eligible? Who's not? Is McPhee allowed to essentially take bribes to not take guys off teams? Like, what are the conversations happening right now between Vegas?
Yes, you are. You can't make deals until they were hoping to pay the final installment on March 1st so he could be active on the trade deadline. There have been some reports lately that may not happen, but he's definitely, you're allowed to talk to him and just sort of say, okay, this is kind of what we're thinking. You just can't do anything official. Like, he's also had permission to talk to coaches, right? Like, he talked to Gallant. He's, he's talked to Capuano, and I wouldn't be surprised if he talked to Julian this week before Montreal signed him. So, he's kind of there. He can kind of do business. If they do get clearance March 1st, they're allowed to trade for players as long as they're not on a current NHL roster. But, yes, Ryan, you can reach out to him and say, if we do this, please not do that. That's that. You can kind of start shaping those conversations.
We are pretty much out of time. Anything else before we bid you adieu for the weekend?
Nothing yet, yeah. I don't think. Yeah, I mean, Arizona, after killing you guys, did you guys a big favor last night. And, I think that's a huge game tomorrow night for you guys in Vancouver. I mean, you guys need to put Vancouver away tomorrow. Big game.
Will we watch it with Hockey Night in Canada and Elliot Friedman? Will you be on our screen?
I will be on your
screen. Oh, thank goodness.
Sox
I won't be driving. I won't be driving an Escalade to work.
That's,
I'll tell you that.
That's all right. Get it right. Thanks, Elliot. We'll talk to you on Monday.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend.